news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Following Monday's important Memorial Day speech, President Biden delivered an emotional address Tuesday in Tulsa, marking the 100th anniversary of the Tulsa Race Massacre, in which a white mob killed as many as 300 black people in the affluent neighborhood of Greenwood, also known as Black Wall Street. Biden said he had, quote, come to fill the silence after decades of denial in a city that deputized and armed many of the attackers. Biden also met privately with three surviving members of the Greenwood community, including 107-year-old Viola Fletcher, who testified before Congress on the need for reparations. One theme the president visited in both speeches, Monday and Tuesday, was the fragility of our democracy, which is now being truly threatened by the Republican assault on our voting rights.
This sacred right is under assault with incredible intensity like I've never seen, with an intensity and an aggressiveness that we've not seen in a long, long time. It's simply un-American. I urge voting rights groups in this country to begin to redouble their efforts now. Earlier this year, the House of Representatives passed For the People Act to protect our democracy. The Senate will take it up later this month, and I'm going to fight like heck with every tool at my disposal for its passage. The House is also working on the John Lewis Voting Rights Act, which is critical to providing new legal tools to combat the new assault on the right to vote. To signify the importance of our efforts, today I'm asking Vice President Harris to help these efforts and lead them among her many other responsibilities. With her leadership and your support, we're going to overcome again.
His warnings were echoed by a group of more than 100 self-described scholars of democracy in a statement released Tuesday. They warned that Republicans are putting the nation's democracy in danger by restricting access to voting and perpetuating the fiction that the 2020 presidential election wasn't secure. The statement by the New America think tank urged lawmakers to, quote, do whatever is necessary, including suspending the filibuster in order to pass national voting and election administration standards that both guarantee the vote to all Americans equally. Well, following Friday's Senate filibuster of the bill that would have begun the process of forming a bipartisan independent commission to investigate the January 6th attack on the Capitol, House Democrats are preparing to go it alone. Speaker Nancy Pelosi is already looking at four options to get started. Tuesday was a busy day with a lot going on. Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas terminated the Trump-era program that had forced tens of thousands of Central American asylum seekers to wait in Mexico in often dangerous conditions for their claims to be processed. American Civil Liberties Union attorney Judy Rabinowitz said the forced return policy was cruel, depraved, and illegal, and we are glad that it has finally been rescinded. In fact, President Biden's been on kind of a roll undoing some of the worst legislation signed into law by the former guy. For instance, on Tuesday, Biden suspended Arctic National Wildlife Refuge oil and gas leases. This is huge. It was actually an Interior Department decision that would undo nearly a dozen leases that Republicans and Democrats have battled over for decades, probably triggering a legal fight. Interior Secretary Deb Haaland said a review of Trump's leasing program in the wildlife refuge uncovered multiple legal deficiencies, such as insufficient analysis required under environmental laws. Haaland ordered a temporary moratorium pending a new comprehensive analysis of the potential environmental impacts of the oil and gas program. Biden's pausing of the new leases builds on his promise to sharply cut greenhouse gas emissions. Well, Tuesday was the first day of June, Pride Month, and Joe Biden issued a presidential proclamation designating the month as Pride Month, promising to push for laws guaranteeing full equality for the LGBTQ community. This is another in the series of reversals of policies under the former guy, who last year refuse to even acknowledge June as Pride Month, the month of marches, parades, and celebrations by gay rights groups and LGBTQ Americans. The White House called attention to the change by saying that, quote, after 4 years of relentless attacks on LGBTQ rights, the Biden-Harris administration has taken historic actions to accelerate the march toward full equality. Of course, Republican-controlled state legislatures have been advancing bills seeking to limit those rights. Well, a special election to fill the House seat vacated by New Mexico's Deb Haaland when she became Interior Secretary was held on Tuesday. The Democrat, Melanie Stansbury, won a resounding victory, garnering 60.3% of the vote to her Republican opponent, Mark Moore's 35.7%. Now, before the results came in, Cook Political Report's Dave Wasserman said that a Stansbury victory by 15 points or more would be good for the Democrats, while a margin under 10 would give Republicans a boost for next fall. Well, with a margin of about 25 points, Democrats are taking this as a good sign as we move forward. Hopefully, the actions of the governor of Florida will have similar effects when he's up for re-election next November. Florida, on Tuesday, became the latest state to ban transgender women and girls from competing in school sports. The governor, who some of us refer to as Death Sentence, happens to be a close ally of the former guy, signed the bill into law after Republicans, who control the state legislature, attached the ban to a charter school bill. Supporters say the measure was necessary to keep competition fair, arguing that transgender female athletes have an advantage over cisgender women and girls. Democrats and civil rights advocates oppose the legislation, calling banning transgender women and girls discriminatory and accusing Republicans of using the issue to stir up right-wing support. But Florida's not alone. Lawmakers in Alabama, Arkansas, Mississippi, Montana, Tennessee, and West Virginia have passed similar measures already, and South Dakota's governor issued an executive order backing a similar ban. That's one case that may go to the Supreme Court, who is entering their final month of the term. But there are still several high-profile cases that have yet to be decided. There's a challenge to the Affordable Care Act yet again on the docket, as well as a major dispute out of Philadelphia that puts claims of religious liberty against the LGBTQ community. Decisions on voting rights, policing, NCAA rules are also outstanding. So all of those decisions or opinions will be released likely by the end of the month. The next opinion release day, Thursday. Stay tuned. Meanwhile, concerned citizens are also looking out for any retirement plans from Justice Stephen Breyer. He's 82. If he were to leave, it would open the door for President Joe Biden and Senate Democrats to replace him with a much younger, liberal member of the court.
Come on, man.
And finally, maybe it's a sign of the times. Back in the fall of 2019, when COVID-19 struck, many hotels closed, either completely or partially due to government shutdowns. And so the Trump company put their DC hotel lease up for sale. Obviously, there were no takers. Well, now they've listed it again. With Trump under investigation by prosecutors in New York and the economy beginning to take off, his company is trying again. They've hired a brokerage firm to market the lease. Bye-bye, Trump International DC Hotel. Although Trump moved to Mar-a-Lago, to Florida, following his time in the White House, he's spending the summer months in Bedminster. Because Trump is a former president, he is still entitled to Secret Service protection. But there's got to be a line drawn somewhere. The Secret Service is spending nearly $35,000 to rent portable toilets for the next 4 months in Bedminster, New Jersey, where the orange one is reportedly spending the summer. Noah Bookbinder, executive director of the watchdog group Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, said he's of course entitled to protection, but from the beginning it's been about his advancement and convenience rather than what's good for the country. Forcing taxpayers to spend all of this money for porta potties at a business that surely has sufficient bathrooms is confounding. The Secret Service has not responded to a request for comment.
I got the news.
And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.